You say, what moves the master? You move the master. You say, well, I don't know if I moved Jesus or not. Why did he come and die for you? You move the master. If you're a child of his or not, you move him. He just didn't come and die for the ones that would be saved. He came and died for whosoever will let him come. This morning, I'm going to be in two passages. Passage number one, Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 34. And passage number 2, I'll be in the 23rd Psalm this morning, showing you what he's trying to teach you and what he's trying to teach me. Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 34, and Psalm 23. If you have a copy of God's Word and you're able, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 34. Jesus was moved. Mark 6, 34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I thank you for this day that you have gifted us with. Lord, there's not a person in this room by their own will woke up this morning. They woke up because you woke them up. Lord God, you put the air in our lungs. You put the air in our breath. You put everything this morning, Father, and I praise you for that. And I glorify you for that. And Lord, we've come here today to do nothing more than to lift up the name of Jesus. We've come here today to praise you and glorify you, that when you see us in our condition, you don't flee, you don't run, you don't hide, but Father, you have compassion on us. Lord, you move with compassion when you see your children. You move with compassion when you see lost people. Lord, you are just full of compassion this morning, and I pray this morning that you move on this word. You hide it deep in the heart of the ones that will hear. Let not Satan take it from us this morning. Father, the Bible says when it fell on the ground, some fell on stony ground. Father, don't let this Satan steal this word from the ears of the hearer, but Lord, let it get on good ground. Let it get deep down into good ground, fertile ground, ground that can be watered. And Lord, I love you and I praise you. I glorify you. I ask you to please guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let me preach only in the unction of the Holy Ghost. If there's one lost, save them. If there's one backslidden, bring them back. If there's one hurting, heal them. If there's one sick, heal them. If there's one that's got a broken heart, heal that broken heart in the blessed, holy name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. In Mark chapter number 6 in verse number 34, the Bible said that Jesus, he saw the people and he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because they were a sheep without a shepherd. You say, preacher, how was he moved without compassion? Number one, because he seen helpless people. He seen people that were helpless and was in need of help. They were there and they had nothing to eat, and it done got weary in the evening. I see they were not only helpless, helpless people, but they were hungry people and they needed to be fed. And the only body that could feed them out in the middle of a desert and there was no food there was Jesus Christ. How can I say to you this morning, if your heart is hungry this morning spiritually and you need to be fed, the only body that can feed you this morning is Jesus Christ. I see they were helpless, they were hungry, but they were humble. He told them to sit down while he fed them. He didn't let them stand up, but he set them down and he wanted to feed them so they could get nourishment for their body. And you say, preacher, what does that got to do with Psalm 23? I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, but He's my shepherd. And this morning, I want us to look at that shepherd and what He was trying to teach His people that day. He was trying to teach them, number one, that He was a compassionate shepherd. The Bible says that He was moved with compassion. If there's anywhere in the Bible that I could turn and show you what kind of shepherd that you and I have and what moves Him, it would be the 23rd Psalm when David said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm thankful this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God, Jesus Christ, is my shepherd this morning. He is the one that leads me. He is the one that guides me. He is the one that protects me. Look with me, if you will, how compassionate a shepherd that we have. You say, what makes Him a compassionate shepherd? Because He is the shepherd. Amen. And compassionate means this: He comes with passion. When He comes to your need and He comes to your rescue, He comes with passion. He moves on you with passion. He doesn't move on you no other way, but in a compassionate way. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 1 through 3 at the compassionate shepherd that we have. He said this in Psalm 23. In verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means He knows your need. Not only does He know my name, but He knows my need. You say, preacher, do you think the God of the universe knows my need? Do you think He knows right now in a congregation like this, and there's people from wall to wall? Do you think He really knows my need? Do you really think He cares about me? I've got good news this morning. He knows your need and He cares about you. Can I get an amen? Hey, the God of the universe, He cares about you. Oh, why does He do that, preacher? Because He has compassion. Look what He does to the sheep. Look what He does in verse number 2. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. You say, preacher, what kind of pastures does He make us lie down in? In green pastures. He doesn't make you lie down in barren spots, oh, dead grass, a place you can't eat, a place that you can't rest. He makes you lie down in green pastures. And the Bible also says is that He leadeth me beside the still waters. Did you know a fact about a sheep this morning is this? That a sheep will not drink water from a raging spot. You get a sheep and you take him out there in that pasture and you take him out to that place and you put him by rushing waters, that sheep will not drink. That sheep will not get the nourishment that he needs. Why? Because a sheep does not like to be under distress. A sheep does not like for his needs not to be met. And this morning I got good news. Hey, we got a compassionate shepherd. And when you got a need in your life and it needs to be met, I want you to know the God of the universe, the God of heaven, the God of glory, King Jesus, He has compassion on you. And He meets your need right where you're at. I see that not only does He meet my need by making me to lie down. Do you know there's times we don't like to lie down? There's times we don't want to lay down. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? Man, I tell you what, you don't want nobody to know if you've took a nap. You don't want nobody to know if you've lied down. You don't want anybody to know if you've rested. Hey, can I say to you, rest is good? He said this, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or not raging water, but still waters. And here's why I love this in verse number 3, He restoreth my soul. You say, what does that mean? When your soul is weary and it's tired and it's weak and it's worn and you need something, your shepherd knows what you need and immediately He makes you new. He takes that oldness out and He puts new in. He gives you what you need when you need it. But look what He says here in verse number 3, not only does He restore my soul, but He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Why does the Holy Spirit, our shepherd this morning, why does He lead us in the path of righteousness? It is for His name's sake. This morning, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you have a compassionate shepherd. That's why He moves on you. He wants to lead you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Can I say to you this morning, we don't only have a compassionate shepherd, but we have a caring shepherd. Boy, I don't know about you, but I love that, don't you? Not only, see, there's one thing to have compassion. I know a lot of folks have compassion, but they could care less. They have compassion. If you talk to them and you ask them, they're full of compassion. They're full of compassion toward certain folk. But I'm talking about a shepherd that is compassionate no matter who you are or what you are. We was at Broken Lives Thursday night, and these two men, the two individuals, they come to an old-timey altar right in the middle of Brother Tony speaking. They come to an old-timey altar. The first man's name was Timothy. I'll never forget this. And Timothy come to the altar. I slid in there right beside Timothy, and I asked Timothy, I said, Timothy, are you born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? He said, yes, sir. I said, so you're telling me when you die that you'll spend eternity in heaven? Man, at that moment, he said, well, the Bible says it. I said, but I'm asking you, do you know that you're born again? Do you know that you're washed in the blood of Jesus? Immediately, I want you to know Timothy's attitude changed. He jumped up from there. He didn't need nothing. Back to his seat, he went. He must have got offended. He must have got undone. He must have come unwound. But as soon as he went back to his seat, I went to sit down, and there was a man that walked to the altar. He was about 6'7". I'm talking about a big joker. He might even been 350 pounds, and his name was Marcellus. And Marcellus was a black man. He wasn't a white man. It's Timothy. Can I say to you, the God of the universe, he has compassion on white people, black people, all kind of people. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, poor, or rich. God has compassion this morning, and he cares about you and the situation that you're in. He has compassion, but he has more than compassion. He cares. It's one thing to have compassion. It's something else to put the pedal to the metal and have careness. Marcellus, he come and he got in that altar. And when he come up, he had tears streaming down his face. And Marcellus, he fell into that altar there. And he said, I need to be saved. I didn't have to ask him, was he saved? I didn't have to ask him what his need was when he come to the altar. When he fell down before an almighty God, he needed compassion. He didn't need to be beat. He didn't need to be railed on. He needed somebody to love him. And you know what he did? Right there, I took my old King James Bible and I opened it up to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. And I showed him in the Bible, the Romans road, how to be saved, how to be born again, how to get out of his trouble, how to get out of his pain, how to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Immediately, me and Brother Charles Colburn was right beside one another. Marcellus asked Jesus into his life. He confessed his sin, confessed that Jesus Christ was Savior, and was willing to ask Jesus to come into his life. When he got done, you said, what did you do, preacher? I said, you thank him for that compassionate shepherd. You thank him that you got a shepherd that cares, even though you're in a place called broken lives, even though you're in here and you don't think nobody cares about you. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that cares about you. And there's a God in heaven that knows your name. Amen. Man, Marcellus jumped up from there. The tears just dried up. I'm talking about he's got a grin from ear to ear because his need had been met, and it had been met by a compassionate shepherd. And it had been met by a shepherd that cares. He said, preacher, how do you know the shepherd cares? Because look at this with me in verse number 4. It's one thing to be compassionate. It's something else to care. It's something else to care. Look what he says here in verse number 4. Yea. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me. He leadeth me. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul for righteousness. He told all the thing about his shepherd. He built his shepherd up to be this compassionate, caring shepherd. And then David says, yea, though I walk through the valley. You say, preacher, if I'm a sheep, why should I go through the valley? Because you got to go through the valley. Valleys in life build you up. Valleys in life make you strong. Valleys in life make you quit leaning on what you know and what you think and start leaning on the shepherd. Valleys in life are not for bad. They're for good. Amen? When you walk through a valley, you say, preacher, I don't know about this valley stuff. I thought when I got saved, this was supposed to be sunshine and cakes and good times and easy living. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, no, my friend. When you walk through that valley, I want you to know that shepherd don't leave because he cares about you. Look what I'm trying to say in verse number 4. Here's what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through. Woo! Not yea, though we walk through. He said, yea, though I walk through. He said, I'm walking through this valley and I'm walking through it with Jesus. Look what he says here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now that can be death of a valley, or you think you're going to die in the valley. I want to ask somebody this morning, do you ever think you're fixing to die in the valley that you was in? God, if you don't show up, we all in trouble. And then the God of the universe had compassion and come down and delivered you out of that valley, had care of you in that valley. Whoa, glory. He said, preacher, here, what's the big deal about a caring shepherd? Compassion is one thing. Cares, he went in the valley with you. Boy, I don't mind staying in the valley as long as he's there. Somebody talk to me this morning. Look what he says. As long as he's there, I'm okay with the valley. I'd rather be in the valley with Jesus than on the mountaintop without him. Listen to me, somebody. I'd rather be in the valley with Jesus than on the mountaintop without him. Why? Because if he's there, everything's going to be all right. If he's there, everything's going to be good. If he's there, I got somebody to lean on. I got somebody to talk to. I got a friend in Jesus. I'd rather be in the valley with Jesus than on the mountaintop without him. Man, we think in Christianity everything's supposed to be a mountaintop. Folks, there are valleys in this life that you're going to have to go through, and I'm going to have to go through. And I want you to know, you're going to go through the valley lost, or you're going to go through the valley saved. It doesn't matter. The lost man's going through the valley. The saved man's going through the valley. The black man's going through the valley. The white man's going through the valley. The rich man's going through a valley. The poor man's going through a valley. I'm asking you, who is with you when you're in the valley? And it makes all the difference when the shepherd is with the sheep in the valley. Sheep go through valleys. Goats go through valleys. We all go through valleys. But if you're a goat, the shepherd ain't with you in the valley. Only if you're a sheep is the shepherd with you in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he knew this. Let me give you a few things that he knew about the valley. He knew that the shepherd was the path through the valley. He said, the shepherd's with me in the valley, he's my path. What are we supposed to do? Does the sheep make the shepherd follow them, or do they follow the shepherd? The sheep follow the shepherd. You don't tell the shepherd what to do. You don't tell the shepherd where to go. You don't tell the shepherd, we ought not go in the valley. He says, I'm going through the valley, and I'm going through it with you, and you're going to go. Come on, let's go. He said, there's a path through the valley. This morning, you got to figure out why you're in that valley. You got to know he's compassionate. You got to know he cares, and he's moving on you, and he's going to lead you through that valley. Number one, there's a path through the valley. Number two, there's a purpose through the valley. You say, what's my purpose? I don't know why you go in the valleys, but I know why I go in sometimes. Amen? And there's a purpose for that valley. What are you going to find in the valley? You'll find lilies in the valley. The Bible says that our God is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley this morning. You'll never see the lily if you don't go through the valley. So I see there's a path. I see there's a purpose. I see there's protection through that valley. And his name is Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because he's with me. Look what he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. What do? They comfort me. Now you're going to think a rod is what you take to your kids. That's not what God does. That's not what Jesus does. What is that rod and that staff for? That rod is to be leant upon. That you lean upon that rod. A shepherd would lean on that rod. A shepherd would find rest in that rod. And you know what you and I ought to do in times of difficult when they come to our life? We must learn to lean and rely on the shepherd. Why? Number one, he's compassionate. And number two, he cares. I don't know about you, but I thank God he cares for me. And he's compassionate. But I want to show you the last thing, and we're going to go. Man, that he has showed me. The other night, we left Broken Lives. I'm going to show you how compassionate and how he cares. I understand y'all's power was out at Broken Lives as well. We were caught right in the middle of it too. And when we left the facility, we hung a right. But the meeting went a little longer than it should have. We thought, praise God, people were getting saved. We're supposed to be out there at 7 o'clock. There's a time. Not only in church, you know, you come at 11 o'clock sharp and leave at 12 dull. You know what I'm talking about? That's how it is at Broken Lives, too. You get there at 6 o'clock sharp and you leave at 7 dull. That's what they want you to do. You got to be out. They got to feed them. We understand all that. But let me show you how compassionate and how caring our shepherd is. It went a little longer than it should have, according to their clock on the back wall. But when we left about 10 minutes later than we should have. Maybe 12, 15. You know Baptist preachers, we can't tell time. So ain't going to keep you 5 minutes. It'd be 45. Forgive us. Kaylee said, Daddy, what time is it? I say, 8 o'clock. She said, tell me what really time it is. I said, 7:51. Get ready. That's not a lie. That's just speeding her up. If you got a daughter, you know what I'm talking about. She needs all the speeding up you can do. She changed shoes 7 times for one Sunday morning service. And go back to the first pair she put. We're undecisive at my house. Y'all ain't like that at y'all's house, I know. And then when you leave, everything is strode out. It is a mess. What she worked at all night the night before to clean up, now that room's like a tornado's come through there. I don't know where I went with that, but somebody knows what I'm talking about. But as we left and we got going back down 6, back to Amory, blue lights passed us. Woo! Another blue light. Woo! We said, oh, Lord, it must be a wreck or something. Right where that van would have been, the old hedge, David Whitaker, right where we would have been, right where we would have been. Brother Billy, your son, Colin, would have been right in that. Colin would have been right in that wreck. He'd been right amongst that wreck. He'd been right in that danger. He'd been right in that way. He'd have been there. Brother Charles, you would have been right in that wreck. You'd have been right in that way. You'd have been right there in the middle of it. I would have been in it. Brother Tony would have been in the middle of it. Everyone that was on that van would have been right in the middle of it. Every one of us would have been right in the middle of that. But we wasn't. What we thought we run over, God let us run over. Why? Because he's compassionate. He didn't want us in that wreck. You said, that's just a coincidence. Call it what you want. That's how I live my life. He cares. He cares. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You think God don't care about you? He cares about you. He keeps you out of danger. He keeps you out of the way. He keeps you out of them places. Why does he do it, preacher? Why does he go before us so that we can come behind him? Why does he do that? Because he's courageous. Not only is he compassionate, not only does he care, but he's courageous. He ain't scared to do it. He ain't scared to run over 15 minutes of broken lives and hold them up for supper. He ain't scared to do it. We was terrified. Oh, Lord, we done run over. He wasn't scared to do it. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to bring this and up here and let him get saved. We're going to hold it a little bit. We're going to let these three rededicate their life. We're going to hold things up. He said, now that ain't God, preacher. That's how he works. We're going to hold things up and let this one get saved. We're going to hold things up and let this one rededicate their lives. We're going to hold things up because them boys are going to be right in the middle of that danger. They're going to be right in the middle of a place they don't need to be. And all they're doing, they ain't doing nothing wrong. They're just trying to serve the Lord. And what Satan meant for evil, God means for good. He said, can God step in? Son, he stepped in so much of my life, I'd take all day to tell you what he's doing. Why? Why? Because he's compassionate. Bodine, he cares about me. He cares about me. He cares about me. And he's courageous. Man, I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when I'm telling you he's courageous, it rubs off on me a little bit sometimes, Amen. Brother Tony. Man, I am weak as weak can be sometimes. Beat down and just won't put my head between my legs. You ever been there? If I get lower, I get lower. But the Holy Spirit come up beside me and said, come on, we got this. Get up, boy. Let's go. Come on. Come on. I'm like, Lord, I don't know if we can do that. Let's go. Lord, let's go. You got this. Come on. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I do or not. Oh, I don't know. He said, I know you ain't got it, but I got it. Let me show you how courageous he is. And I don't want to keep you all day. Oh, Lord Jesus. How's he courageous? Go to the next one, Brother Dylan. Sister Tracy, thank you for sending that to me, that sermon. Thank you. None of these points was in that man's sermon, but I listened to it. And the only thing he talked about was that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You don't think he's courageous? He takes my life. He don't put me in a corner. He don't put me in a back room. He don't hide me back there. He takes me out and lets me shine. He takes me out and lets me shine because his light's shining in me. He don't take me and put me in a back room. He don't take me and cover me up. He don't take me and say, all I'm going to do is let you be right in front of people that's like, no. He said, what I'm going to do in your life, I'm going to do it in front of every enemy you got. I'm going to do it in front of every naysayer that you got. I'm going to do, come on, somebody talk to me. Oh, man, oh, I tell you what, he got saved, but he going to slip. He got saved, but I don't know about him. He got saved, but I just don't really know. I don't know. And you know who says that? I've never heard the lost world say it. I don't know if they're saved. Now, it's church folks say it. The psalmist said, my God is compassionate. The psalmist said, my God cares. And the psalmist said, my God's courageous. And he said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's not a person in this room, my enemy. You ain't my enemy. You ain't my enemy. I'm not your enemy. I've got one enemy, and he's the devil. And don't you give place to the devil. At your table, don't you give place to the devil. Don't you let the devil pull up a seat beside you. Don't, boy, when you sent me that message, whoa, don't you let the devil pull up a seat beside you. Don't you let the devil whisper in your ears. Don't you let the devil have a heyday in your life. Don't you let the devil have a heyday in your marriage. Don't you let the devil have a heyday with your kids. You remember this, that we have a good shepherd. He is compassionate. He cares, and he is courageous. You say, preacher, why am I going through hell on earth? It's because he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's putting you out there on front show. Why? Because you're the apple of his eye. He saved you. He didn't save you to hide you. He saved you to show you. You're a royal diadem. You're the apple. Look at Isaiah. You're the apple of his eye. And he loves you that much. As I thought about that and dug on that and prayed about that, I thought about some things that we could allow to pull up to our table. That we're allowed to put. I just don't let anybody at my eating table at home. I don't know about y'all. We still eat at the table. We still eat at the table. We still clean the table off and sit around the table and talk, eat, pray, study around the table. We got Brandy's grandma's table. That thing's old. You hear me? Old as Methuselah. I mean, this thing's old, son. It's a little, you know what I'm saying? But it's all right. Up there on Mills Hill, we'll back a screw out, take a little Debbie cake wrapper, fold it up real good, stick it under there, screw it back up, and level it out. Y'all ever done that? Got a table ain't right, tear off that cardboard, stick it on that foot. Now, y'all older folks know this new generation don't know what I'm talking about. They ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. If it leans a little bit, they throw it away and get a new one. They ain't got a clue what I'm talking. It's over their head. But that old generation, you just make it level. You do what you've got to do to get it level. I'm talking to somebody in here this morning. You do what you got to do to get level in your life with Christ Jesus. You get to the feet of Jesus and do whatever it takes. And you be careful who you let at your table. You be careful who you let put their feet under your table. You be careful who you let put their feet under your table. I've got a few things. I want to step back up here. I want to make sure you get. He's compassionate. He cares. And he's courageous. And you be careful who you let at your table. I'm going to show you this morning. I know this is not a Christmas message, but it is, because he's moved with compassion. See, what does he let at our table, preacher? What do we let at our table when he prepares it? I wrote this down, some enemies that will come to your table. Enemies that will come to your table. Difficulty is an enemy. Difficult is enemy. Depression is an enemy, and I just nailed it. Half the congregation. And the other half, it's coming. Depression. You say, I don't deal with depression. You will. I don't deal with anxiety. You will. Your valley just ain't got low enough yet. I don't deal with that, preacher. That ain't of. That ain't, you ain't got, your valley ain't got low enough yet. Darkness is an enemy. He said he come to, that we may have light, that we may have life. Doubt is an enemy. You know how many people in here doubt? They doubt. Did you know perfectionists doubt? They said people that really care less get more done and make more money a year than somebody that's a perfectionist and looks at every little detail. You know why? Because they spend all their time on little details. Brother Paul, you're shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. A perfectionist spends all their time on every little detail and they don't get nothing accomplished because they're on every little detail. Well, somebody that don't care, they don't spend time on every little detail. They're getting more done, more done, more done. Difficulty is an enemy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Depression is an enemy. Darkness is an enemy. Doubt is an enemy. And all these come from our adversary, the devil. He is an enemy. Well, bless God, I'm saved. Bless God, you are saved. Bless God, everything's good at my house. Praise God, everything is good at your house. But you can be saved and everything be good at your house, and you can let the devil have a seat at your table. You can let the devil pull right up beside you. You can let the devil pull right up to your table, sit down at your table, eat your food, eat what you want. And he's took something from you, and you've got to get it back. And here's what you say. Well, I'm saved, preacher. Amen. And the devil can't come in me where the Holy Spirit is. And you're right. Amen. But you can sure give him a spot at your table. You can give him a place. Listen to me, church. You can give him a place. Preacher, I don't know about that. Brother Dylan, put up Ephesians 4:27, if you will. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. And Paul reminds us, it's Bible. It's Bible. This morning, it's Bible. I wonder who this, right now I'm talking to, that you gave place to the devil. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning. But you forgot how compassionate a shepherd we have. You forgot how caring he really is. And you forgot how courageous he is. You see, here's the thing. When he prepares that table before you in the presence of your enemies, he don't keep the devil away. He don't keep the devil away. In 1 Peter 5, he don't say, Lord, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He don't say that. You know what he says to the child of God? He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You play with him, he ain't going nowhere. You play with him, he ain't going nowhere. You show him no resistance at all. You don't push back on him none, he ain't leaving. But John, you shaking your head, you know. I know. You don't push back on him, he ain't leaving. He's bigger than you. He's badder than you. He's tougher than you. He can do what you can't do. He can defeat you. But listen, by the blood of Jesus, our shepherd. Preacher, how did he move with compassion? Because he's seen how we was. And with his compassion, and with him caring about us, he was courageous enough to say, verse number 6, surely. How am I going to get through this life, preacher? You're going to get through it one way. With your shepherd. With your shepherd. That he's compassionate, that he cares, and that he's courageous. Verse number 6 says, surely goodness. Everybody loves goodness. This year, we all want to be good to somebody, don't we? We all want to help somebody. Surely goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy go together. Goodness and mercy go together because he cares. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell. Well, I hope that's your prayer. You give place to the devil, you won't be dwelling in the house of the Lord. I've seen a bunch. I've seen a bunch. There's nothing no sadder than a pastor go visit a church member in jail. Ain't nothing no sadder. Ain't nothing no sadder than a pastor go and visit a church member in jail. Why was they there, preacher? They gave place to the devil. The other night, Brother Colin, I want to say to you, God had compassion on us. Brother CJ, he cared about us, huh? And he's courageous enough to keep us safe. Even though the enemy was right up the road, he kept us out of harm's way. This morning, I want to ask you a question. What have you gave place to? Son, it's Christmas time. It's easy to give place to the devil. It's easy. You don't believe me? My kid watches Nickelodeon sometimes. And now, you know what they call it? You say, preacher, you're just too old-fashioned. Now they call it Nicodemus. We seen that Nicodemus took Christ right off of it. Well, that's just for kids. Took him right off of it. Didn't think nothing about it. Could care less. This Christmas season, be the one that don't care less. But be careful. Careful in what God's called you to do. If you're in here this morning and you're lost, why not come to Jesus? Man, He has so much compassion. He cares for you. He said, preacher, are you sure He's courageous? He come from glory and went to the cross that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. Father, I pray that He touches on y'all, that He touches on me, that He moves on y'all, that He moves on me. Because where will we be without our shepherd? Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you and I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you that you have prepared a table. And Lord, you feed us at that table. Everything we need is at your table. Everything we need is there this morning. And the enemy is trying to rob us of what's at your table. Lord, I pray we walk out of here this morning, we can say we've allowed the shepherd to have compassion on us. We've allowed the shepherd to care about us because we serve a courageous shepherd. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. I ask you to